I like it. I like it. I'm gonna mention it today, and perhaps we may change our format a little bit. But I really enjoy the format and the brothers and sisters that are here, and a lot of them I know your faces, but names, you know, I won't be able to really kind of do that. But let's get into the lesson. Let's look to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come again, Lord. We just thank you again for your goodness and your wonderful grace. Father, we ask that you would bless your word, Lord. We ask, Father, that as it goes forth, Lord, if there is any error in your word, Lord, that thou will forgive. But, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word and you watch over us, Lord. And, Father, we just thank you again and again that you do all things after the counsel of your will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last time I was here, we were talking in John chapter 10, and we went over the first three verses in John chapter 10, just to give a small overview of what we had talked about. In verse 1, God gave us a warning about climbing up some other way. That if you try to get to heaven any other kind of way except going through the door, he calls you a thief and a robber. And then he identifies, he says, but he, in verse 2, he says that he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So the Lord Jesus is the door, and he is the shepherd of the sheep. And then we talked about the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now, we didn't really get a chance to get into the part where it says that he leadeth them out. Well, where does he lead us out of? He leads us out of prison. That's where he finds us. We're in darkness, and we're in the prison house of sin. And so that's where the Lord Jesus finds us, and that's where he leads us out from. And so now we're going to start on, we're going to look at verse 4. In verse 4 it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now we already established that his voice is the word of God. His voice is the word of God. You can't separate the Lord Jesus from his word. They're one and the same. As we had looked at in John chapter 1, and in verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. And then we looked over at verse 14, and it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so there we see that the Lord Jesus is the Word, and the Word is the Lord Jesus. You can't really separate the two. They're one and the same. And so when we read his Bible, when we read his word, we are reading the living word of God. It's God speaking to us. And we talk to him through prayer. And so so that's the communication process that God has established in our day. In sundry times, he would bring voices and he would have the prophets to declare his word. Well, that's basically what we do, declare his word. But there are no voices. This is the voice of the Lord right now, right here today for us. So, you know, don't let somebody come to you and say, the Lord told me to tell you. No, that's not going to fly, because he's telling us right here in his word. And so you may not be around people like that, but those kind of things happen. And that's a snare that Satan sets for the unsuspecting. And so, but God gives us he tells us in his word what to do. And so now we're going to take a look at verse 4. He says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, this word putteth, it's not a word like, okay, now you just come over here and I'll place you over here or over there. It's not a timid word like that. It's much more forceful. Now, it's only translated as putteth in the New Testament right here. But in other places, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now this word cast them out is the same word as putteth. Now it's a lot more forceful than what you might think it might be. It's not as timid as what it may sound in John 10. So let's take another look. Let's look at Mark 1. Mark 1. And verse 34 says, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Now he didn't, when he did that, he didn't say, well, now you come on out now. No, it wasn't like that. He forcefully cast them out with, because that they knew him. They knew who he was. And so so this is how he puts us forth. This is how he gets us. He takes us out of that prison house of sin. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at Isaiah. Let's see, Isaiah 42. So we can take a look and see exactly where he gets us from. What kind of situation is this? In Isaiah chapter 42, and I'm going to start reading at verse 5. It says, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. See, that's where the Lord finds us. He finds us, as we mentioned that a little early, he finds us in prison and in darkness. The prison house of sin, We're in darkness. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 1, now this is someone that they believe that they are saved, and God gives you a test here so that you can be honest with yourself to see if you really, really know who the Lord is, if you really are saved. And these tests, he puts them there so that for us too, so that we can examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. And in verse 6 he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, this is a test that we can test ourselves as a Christian, as a believer, to see whether or not we line up with what God has in his word here. Now, if we're not doing these things, then we have to ask ourselves, are we truly saved? Because here, God is saying, you're not saved if you want to walk in darkness, because that's where he got us out from. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to change all of a sudden just like that, but there's certain places that we're just not going to feel comfortable in. Places that we used to go, things we used to do, we're just not going to feel comfortable. We're not going to be comfortable. And it should be like that, because now we have a conflict in our members, inside of us, that is tugging. It's a war that's between us. And the more you feed the word of God, the more you feed your new spirit, the stronger you become. See, now, if you don't eat regular food, your body will become weak. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. If you don't eat the word of God, and this is what your spirit eats, the word of God, you're going to be weak. And so when that moment comes where you want to do what the flesh wants you to do, or you want to do what the Lord would have you to do, you're more apt to do what the flesh wants you to do if you're not reading his word. If you're not reading his word, if you're not strong. See, that's what happens. We have to be built up. It doesn't all come all of a sudden. We got to keep reading his word. Even if you don't understand it, keep reading it, because we're still eating. It's like that bowl of oatmeal that, you know, your parents used to give you all the time. It didn't look all that good. It didn't taste all that good. But let me tell you, now that I'm older and I see what my parents used to give me, I know that that was good for me. But I didn't know that. But see, the word of God is the bread that our spirit eats. And so we want to constantly be in his word. And we want to constantly, we just need to know that every time we get into his word, that we're feeding our inner man. We're feeding our spirit. Whereas it will get stronger and stronger, so that when we come against those temptations and all, we can resist those things. It's easier to turn away. You see, we think about more about the love of God and what he has done for us, where he got us from. How can we go back to where he got us from? It's very, very difficult. Very. It's that tug of war in Romans 7. Let's look at Romans 7. Let's just read that. In Romans chapter 7, this is the very thing. In Romans chapter 7, okay, we'll start reading in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that do I. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so, Paul lays it out through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we do have this struggle within ourselves. So let's go back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And so he said, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, if we are God's sheep, we're going to follow the Lord Jesus. We're going to follow his word. It's something that's just going to happen. It's like an apple tree. You don't have to make it bring forth apples. All you have to do is wait. And when the season is right, it's going to bring forth apples on the tree. So if you are one of God's children, you will follow him. And by following him, you're following his word, because you can't separate him from his word. And so now we may not follow it perfectly, but God gives us that want to follow his word. And so we follow him because we know his voice. His voice, as we said before, is his word. His word is his voice. We're going to do that. We're not going to follow anybody else. As he tells us here in the next verse, he says, and a stranger will they not follow. A stranger will they not follow. Now, a stranger is someone that you don't know. Someone that you don't know. If you were when you were a little kid, your parents will tell you, they would say, now, Max, don't talk to strangers because you don't know them. You don't know them. Now, God, what he does is he's setting this situation up where the sheep, we as sheep, we are going to shy away from this stranger. We're not supposed to, because we don't know him. We don't know him. So they don't know his voice. They don't know the person. And so they're not going to follow a stranger. Now, what is this stranger that he's talking about? Now, number one, a stranger will say things that are not familiar to you. Now, a stranger spiritually is strange doctrine. That's what it is. It's doctrine that will lead you away from Christ or away from the truth that's in his word. That's what this stranger, it's another warning that God gives us. He's letting us know that you're not going to follow the stranger. He's not saying I don't want you to follow the stranger. You're not going to do it because the Holy Spirit holds us fast. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll start reading from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You see where he says, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You see, I used to be a letter carrier, and I used to carry mail. And the way it works is you get the letter, or let's put it this way. When you start writing the letter, you'll put on there the address where it goes, and you'll put the return address in case something happens to it. And then you seal the letter up. Well, what happens here is how we... See, it's like a letter. Like the Lord puts us in the letter, and then before he seals it up, he gets in the letter with us, and then seal the letter, do not open till heaven. That's our eternal security. That is an example of how we're eternally secure in Christ, you see? And so... the Holy Spirit stays with us until we get home to be with the Lord. So he's part of us. He lives in us. Now, how he lives in us, I really couldn't tell you. But I know that the Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a promise that God gives us. And so... with this promise that he gives us, And the fact that we are sealed, when a stranger comes and we hear strange doctrine, this stranger telling us strange things about our Lord, it causes us to become uneasy. We will become uneasy in this thing. Now, it won't hurt us now, because the Bible says if we drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt us. And it's not talking about drinking cyanide either. It's talking about drinking a deadly thing, which is another gospel. It's deadly. It is very deadly. There are gospels that tell you that all you have to do is accept Christ. It's so subtle. It's so subtle. And if you were in a gospel like that, as such as I, it's called a free will gospel, which is so very subtle and it's very deadly, because it can make you feel or think that all is well when really all is not well. And I'm sure a lot of us have come out of different, but it's only by God's grace. It's only by His grace. You can go back and you talk to your friends and you say to them, but this is what the Bible says. And they would just look at you and, yeah, okay, I see what he say, but look at this over here, but look at this over here. And, you know, it's just, and to be able to come out of that, that is the snare that Satan sets for us. And see, we don't really know that we're in it until God brings us out of it. That's the thing that causes you to rejoice as you look back on where he brought you from. And so those kind of things is what the stranger brings. And so we have to be very, very aware of those kind of things like that. Okay, so let's go back to, I want to give you some verses for this stranger. Let's take a look at Proverbs 27:2. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 2. Proverbs 27:2. It says, let not man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Now, on the surface, this stranger here right okay now he's on the surface he's just talking about, you know, don't praise yourself. If somebody has anything to say about you, then, you know, just let them say it. Don't talk about yourself. But this is just it's not how God uses the word stranger. He's just using the word stranger there. But in the New Testament, the word stranger in John chapter 5, we want to go to Luke 16:12. Going to Luke chapter 16. And verse 12. Now, Luke 16 and verse 12. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Now, in Luke 16:12, he says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, this word, another man's, is the same word for stranger. So this stranger is another man. Well, what is the another man what? It's another gospel is what it is. It's another man's gospel. It's not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go on with this. Let's look in Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and in verse 4 it says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? There's that same word again. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. And so here God uses this word, other man's. Other man. So other man's, other men's, is someone else other than. This is the stranger. It's another man. It's other men. All right, turn over to Romans 15 and verse 20. He says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. There's the same word again. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 15 and 16, he says, 2 Corinthians 10, 15, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup, hold on, that's not the right one. It's 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Forgive me. Second Corinthians 15. Okay. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers. Chapter 10. I'm sorry. Verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. You see how God is using this word stranger as being another man. So, and these translate into doctrines of men. Doctrines of men. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. The Lord says in verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And so God wants to make sure that we hear what he's saying. He says the same thing twice. So this thing, it's a warning that God doesn't want us to miss that. And so the gospel that this gospel, this other gospel that he's talking about here, is a gospel that's close to what the gospel that they preach, but it's not the same thing. They added something to it, and that's what perverted it. And so what happens is, how close, let's see now, does God tell us how close is this gospel to the gospel that they preach? Let's turn to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, And in verse 24, he says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." That is very close, but it's not possible. You see how he says, if it were possible, but it's not possible that we can be deceived like that because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But it's so many gospels that are out there now. Some you can recognize right away, but there are others that are so very, very subtle. Like that gospel of free will is very subtle and very deadly, just like a snake. And so, but the only thing we can do is just praise the Lord that he has brought us out of those gospels that are not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we can't take any credit for coming out of these gospels because the Bible says that there go I, but for the grace of God. And it's only by his grace and his mercy that he allowed us to come out of that. That he not allowed us, that he took us out of that. He took us out of that. And so we all have loved ones and friends that we have, that they are still there. But it does not mean that God cannot get them out of there. It does not mean that. We just don't know what his whole plan is. And so, but we have to praise the Lord for what he has done for us, for what he has done for us. Those, if you know who the Lord is, and this is a scenario that I use a lot, and God gives it in his word, he said to his disciples, he says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, "Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets." And he said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter stepped forward and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus, the King of glory, says to Peter, "Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father that's in heaven." So if you know who the Lord Jesus Christ really is, it's only because the Father hath revealed himself to you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your precious, precious word, Father. We ask, Father, that you would watch over each and every one of us, Lord. You said you would never leave us or forsake us. Father, as we go back to our homes, Lord, and to our different ministries, Lord, we just want to proclaim your word that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords and that you are coming back. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that soon now it'll be all over. Father, we'll just be with you and forever and ever. Lord, I can't comprehend it. But, Father, you said it, and I believe it. And, Lord, we just thank you again and again for your wonderful promises. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.